of all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings and makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night falls in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy
nation, welcome to Resurrect the Republic.
To starvation in the twinkling of an eye.
Welcome to the show, my friends. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer of the Courtroom Observers Network, filling in for Tom LaCavara, who tonight I'd like to pray for. He's incarcerated somewhere in Nevada. Why, we do not know. Apparently the charges were levied in Oregon. He was picked up in New Jersey, and now he's sitting in Nevada. So this has become one giant cluster that's difficult to explain, even for the Courtroom Observers Network. And we specialize in these type of unlawful activities by the tyrannical government that we're living under at this moment. So I'd like to start off this show, if nobody minds, with a brief scripture. It's that time of year, and it should always be this time of year, where we turn our problems over to the Lord. He wants us to turn our problems over to Him when it gets overwhelming.
There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night falls in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye. They tell us there will soon be peace. Our lives.
an endless feast, but they lead us toward the dark. In the distance, sabers rattle, and the army's trained for battle as the beast prepares his mark. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string and makes his little puppets dance to any song he sings. As the night rolls in on the rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse. It's time for every righteous man to step up tall, take a stand. There is so little time. For if we fear and hesitate, soon it will be too late. We're the last hope of mankind. Time hurries on, the shadows fall, the hand.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Media, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I'm here tonight sitting in once again for Tom, who is incarcerated in Oregon in Lane County, I believe. We do have Lori from Texas with us, and she's better to give an update because she's had more recent contact with Tom. Lori, are you with us tonight?
I'm here. Hello.
Excellent. How you doing, Lori? Good to have you.
A lot better today. Some interesting developments have happened.
Yeah, so I heard. Well, why don't I just let you take it away and kind of give us the update and the lowdown on what who you had contact with, and I think we have a pretty interesting show ahead of us for tonight.
And interrupt at any time. I talked to Thomas this weekend, and Saturday they had taken him into court, and he had told me they had set up a date for March. The date is March 6th, and we had found out who the judge is today. This is Judge Ann Akin, and what's interesting about her is she is the judge who changed the decision for the Hammonds and put them back in jail. She also has a husband who used to be the head of the Democratic National Party for Oregon. She was also appointed by Bill Clinton during his administration. They do say that she is no longer there and she has been replaced, so I'm wondering why she's still on the bench. Not sure if she's going to really hear the case or if somebody else is going to hear the case, but that is the judge that has been put on his case, is the same judge that pulled the Hammonds back into jail. The other thing he told me was he has some sort of hearing in 2 weeks. I'm not sure what kind of hearing this is. I'm waiting to hear back from the public defender, who has his court-appointed lawyer. Right now, that's who's got their legs on the ground. And don't know if he's going to call me back or not. But he should have been informed that I do have power of attorney over his legal matters. So I do need to hear from him. Thomas is in good spirits. I also heard your calls for medical are working. I did talk to him today. He did see a doctor again. Instead of ibuprofen, they're going to give him a step up in medications. They are non-narcotic, so they're probably not strong enough. But they are going to start him on other medications tomorrow. He is going to call me and let me know that they do give him those medications. So thank you for everybody that's been calling. Something is working. A couple of more things have happened, too. I followed Eric's advice today and called the Vicar General. I called Peter Smith and left a message with his office, and he returned the call. Let me change directions. Let me talk about the website. When you go on the U.S. District Courts of Oregon, they have a public notice right now that they're changing the rules of the court. And when you click on it, the first link that they have for the rule, the changes, it's probably about the third line down of that little notice. This is the U.S. District of Courts website for Oregon. you click on that, and they'll have a couple of letters and a couple of changes to some of their rules. But at the very bottom, it has the rules for the Admiralty Courts. So for all of you guys that don't think we have Admiralty Courts, it's right there in black and white. On this site, they've given the U.S. Marshals jurisdiction to arrest on the two rivers. This, I believe it's the Columbia and the Snake River. And they've given them jurisdiction in between the on the land. But they did not give them arresting power on the land, just on the rivers. The way it's written, the way it's interpreted may be different. There's quite a few things if you go and read. It's 13 pages, and I encourage you to read it. Someone suggested that I go and highlight it and post it somewhere. If you can't read the 13 pages and you can't read the Bible and you can't read these things, may your chains rest lightly. You need to go and read them. In there, they describe human beings. Now, this is for public comment. This is open. I'm not making this up. You have time to call into the courts. If you're from Oregon, you should. Because what they deem you is a vessel, as their property, as their commercial entity. Living men and women, they're calling property. What do you think of that, Eric?
Well, it's what they specialize in, trafficking of flesh. And everybody has been presumed lost at sea legally. This is how they operate against you as a fictitious entity and not as a living man or woman. This is why common law is so important, natural law, that we get back to our fundamental rights that are given from the Creator. But that's very interesting that you got a call back from the Vicar General. What did you have to, do you want to share any?
I'll get to that one in a minute. Well, I just wanted to kind of get some input on what we found out so far. If you read up towards the beginning, I think it's the first couple of pages, they also say within a certain number of days, you have to claim your property back. Well, if we're living men and women, we're the property of the Creator, not of the government, not of the church, but of God. And who has claimed on this earth all the property in the name of God as their intercessor but the Pope? Correct?
Yeah, that's an easy one. That's an easy one. And the Vicar Generals manage it locally.
Well, I called the Vicar General. He called me back. And I said, if you go on their web, I said, I think and pretty much believe that I need your help. There's a living man in jail, and I need help from someone that's a representative of God. And here's why I need that. Because if you go to their website, and it's up for public opinion, so I'm not making it up, and you can make your public comments now, but they're asking to claim the property back, and I need you to claim God's property back for him. I need a man that has the authority to do that. And he hemmed and hawed and kind of said, we don't do that. And I said, well, the Pope has claimed this. I didn't go over the canons. I've got to go back and find the proper name for it. I don't think it's the Unum Sanctum. There's three of them. And I said, you know, I need help. The Pope has made this claim. I need one of his representatives to help. I think you may be able to help. This was Peter Smith. He kind of hemmed and hawed a little bit and stuttered and had to catch his breath. And I said, I need someone to help me claim the property of God back, a living man. And he got a little quiet, and he said, I'll look into it. And I said, do I need to call Mr. Brennan, or do you need him to help? He said, I think he might be able to help too. So, you know, he's the other Vicar General. And as I'm talking to him, he said, I'll get back to you next week. I said, we don't have that much time. You need to claim your property quicker than that. Jesus rose in 3 days. Next week's too long. And he said that we can do greater things than he. I said, I think you can call me back sooner. Do I need to call Alex Sample, the Archbishop, if you'll remember? Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, don't do that. So I said, well, I think after 3 days I might have to call him. So he got off the phone pretty quickly. I can't remember all of the conversations, and I'm sorry, I just was able to get an app to record calls. But basically now, this is the kind of call you need to have with the Vicar General. They've told us quite frankly and quite firmly that we need to make public comments on these Admiralty rules. And on these Admiralty rules, it says you have to claim your property back. We need calls to the Vicar General to say and request, since the Pope has already told us that he's the intercessory for God, to put one of his men in and claim his living man back for God. Not for him, but for God. And see if that might help Thomas out a little bit. And I did tell him, please don't forget this name. His name is Thomas Robert Lacovero. So let's see what happens from that one.
Nice work, Lori. So
it's,
the other vicar was the judicial vicar. Now, I would follow up on that call within the next 24 to 48 hours because they're not always quick to get back to people as they should be, as I'm sure you well know.
Oh, yeah.
But in this case, I'm kind of in shock because in this case it seems like he did get back to you fairly quickly, and to his credit, we'll see what he does from here. We know he's the man behind the curtain, behind the courts the way they exist today and this militarized ecclesiastic law that they live under. That Admiralty law is all managed by the Vatican and the banking establishment. Everybody's in a trust. You're assumed lost at sea. It's been going on for hundreds of years. You can try to claim it back. You may have results. You may not. Let us know if you do. The courts are often immovable. The only thing they respect is public pressure, activism, phone calls, and a lot of them. And if there's enough phone calls and enough public pressure, they're going to have to do the right thing and honor common natural law. That's what they claim to represent here. Okay, put your money where your mouth is, Vicar. We're commanding that you do the right thing in this case. We'll see what they do. But enough pressure in that on those vicars, and cases will move in the direction of a more just and righteous outcome than we've been having over the past couple of decades.
I'm going to give you an example where it does work. I did call the Archdiocese in Galveston. A lot of you may remember Jordan. She was from Katy, Texas. She was told in a class assignment to deny God, and she refused. The superintendent, after one of Tom's shows, immediately had the first ever news conference. And she went to the school board meeting, and Tom and I went back to Texas for that meeting and faced him and told him flat out, they asked me to deny God, and I will not. Now, after the fact, I called the Archdiocese and told them that they had a superintendent there in Katy, Texas, that was trying to ask the children to deny God, and what were they going to do about it? They gave me a guy to talk to, which I did, and within 3 months, he resigned. And I told this was one of the things I told Mr. Smith, and told him, I know that there's something behind it, and I know that it works because Jordan was asked to deny God, and that superintendent is no longer and has not been heard from since. So anybody that remembers that, you can refer to that as well. The Archdiocese in Galveston was called on that, and that superintendent is gone. They won't ever have record of it. They won't ever show anything from it. I don't care, as long as the one that's asking them to deny something is out and not heard from again.
Lori, is Tom being still being held in Lane County, Oregon?
Yes, he's still in Lane County, Oregon. He is still in 23-hour lockdown. He doesn't like it too well, but I don't think anybody would. He is aware that I talked to the Vicar General. He doesn't quite understand what I said to him, but I told him to go and read his Bible and to study on it. He has not received any letters yet. On his Facebook page is posted the address. I have limited internet access, so I apologize to people. But he does have a Bible to read, a Constitution to read, and he gets out an hour a day. And when I can afford it, I will take his phone calls. other than that, that's where he stands right now until we see what the Vicar General does and what these people do to help us out. I know that the phone calls have helped on his medication, and that is a big deal. He has been in some great pain, and he has been having a hard time. It does wear on you, but it is what it is. If we're going to fight this and we're going to stand up and make a change and get things back honorably, some of us are going to have to suffer in different ways, and Tom's paying the price right now. There's many, many more than Tom out there doing this as well. So it's up to us to support them, to research, to make the calls, do what we can do, go out there and actually do something. Don't be afraid. I was not afraid to call the vicar. I had no problem with it. He's just another man like everybody else. He has to answer to God one day. So don't be afraid to call these people. Just ask them very respectfully what's going on. Don't laugh and giggle at them when they start giving you silly answers. They cannot reveal what they know to you. Just keep talking. The Vicar General wanted to get me off the phone pretty quickly, and he was stuttering and stammering. But I kept my cool. I didn't laugh. I didn't get angry. I wasn't disrespectful. But I did quote as many Bible verses as I could. And I still have some left up my sleeve to push towards him and tell him on the next couple of calls that are much powerful things that I know that the Pope has done. These are the things I and Thomas really need your help on. Please call him. You all have internet access. You all are competent people. You can look this up. You can do this. You don't have to be spoon-fed. We have got to get strong. We have got to get knowledgeable, and we have got to start helping people out. If this works for Thomas, we need to do it for every single one of our political prisoners. They are being held and kidnapped, and they're being considered property, vessels on the sea. They have to have court orders to transport them. It was disgusting reading those 13 pages on the U.S. District Courts of Oregon. When you read it, I think it's the second box down. You go to the third or fourth sentence down. It's all in blue. Click on it. It will show you where they're changing the rules. They have to keep it on there because it's for public comment. Comment. Tell them you cannot consider us as vessels. You cannot consider us as property. You do not own us. You are sick, sick, sick people to transport and pay and buy for flesh. Sick people. We are not your cattle. So, Eric, any comments?
No, I think you just about said it. That's great work. I do encourage people to call. Do we have the... I wanted to give people the number for the sheriff in Lane County who's actually holding Tom. Is that okay, Lori, if we give that out real quick?
Sure. Give out any numbers you have there handy because, you know, it does help. I just want to tell people, you know, don't get upset with us when we don't have the numbers. You can look them up. They're not that hard. And if you forget them...
Do you have the number?
I can look it up on my phone.
You can dig up the number for the vicar, and I'll... say the number for the sheriff. That would be good. While you're looking up the vicar's number, that would be the vicar general and or the judicial vicar, whoever Lori spoke to. She's going to look that up right now. I'm going to give you the number for the sheriff of Lane County, Oregon. This is where they're holding Tom. And it's Sheriff Byron Trapp. Apparently doesn't know. He's supposed to open the doors and let Tom walk out of there for a victimless allegation. They should not be holding Tom without bail. This is only in instances of a capital offense allegation can they hold somebody without bail. And even then, I've seen reports of mafia hitmen getting bail. It's $1 million or $2 million, but they still get bail. And they're holding Tom for absolutely victimless offense, which I hate to say offense because he didn't do anything. It's allegation. And they're holding him without bail in Lane County, Oregon. Tom's supposed to be doing this show right now, and he's sitting there over the holidays waiting to walk out. The only thing that's really going to, we can have great paper filings, but we need to have people making phone calls. That's even more important. It really is, because activism always trumps paperwork. They can bury paperwork or find a T that you didn't cross or an I that you didn't dot properly. but they can't get away from public pressure, and they need to, a lot of phone calls need to go on the vicar's office, which is who Lori spoke to, and I suggest people call Sheriff Trapp at 541-682-4150. That's 541-682-4150. It's in Lane County, Oregon. It seems to be a pattern of the state of Oregon, sheriffs and state police particularly, as well as the feds, really trampling on people's private property, on people's private personage. Who was injured by Tom sitting in the hotel room that had a gun in it? No one. And the state cannot be a victim because it's a fictitious entity.
And the Vicar General, the moderator of the Curia, his Bishop Peter Smith, his number is 503-234-5334. Again, the Vicar General moderator of the Curia is Bishop Peter Smith. That's who I talked to today. 503-234-5334. He assists the Archbishop in the governance of the Archdiocese and has a responsibility to coordinate and oversee the administrative activities of all Archdiocese departments. He did not want me calling the Archbishop for a reason. He's not taking care of and claiming for God that which is of the Creator. And it states clearly, clearly in this paperwork. And I'm going to try to pull it up and give you the...
Lori, are you with us? Okay, it seems we may be having some technical difficulties with Lori over the cell phone. Lori, just chime in if you come back a little bit. Can you get to an area with some better reception, or are you with us, Lori, or shall I?
I'm here. I'm going to have him call me.
Okay.
I'm here. I'm going to call me back and then join back in.
No, you're doing good. We can hear you great right now. Wherever you are now sounds good. Go ahead and continue to give us some information, Lori. Oh, okay. Lori will be back with us shortly. I think we're coming up on a break in a minute or two. But I want people to... I want people to encourage people to call on behalf of Tom LaCavara. His prisoner ID number is 392-3405. So when you call Sheriff Trapp about Tom at 541-682-4150, his ID number is 392-3405. And we'll be right back after this break. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer on the RBN Network.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Mother of the moon, which filled my sails, close the sea of years. With no provisions, but no basis, close the straits of fear.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic on the RBN Network. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. I'm sitting in for Tom, who's still sitting in custody in Lane County, Oregon. We encourage everybody to call the Sheriff of Lane County, Oregon, Byron Trapp. We encourage everybody to call the Judicial Vicar and the Vicar General for Oregon in that area, and Lori has just had contact with them. We're going to see what they're going to do. And the more calls they get, the more likely they're going to do something, and they can do a lot. They are the hands-on court managers. Those courts are appointing everything to do with property and children, you name it, settlements, estates. I've watched it. I can prove it, chapter and verse, case after case after case, of the Vicar General's office being appointed to manage all these things by the surrogate administrative courts. And their power is enormous, and they like to remain in the shadows. So everybody turn on the spotlight of a telephone call or an email. Both would be good. Be creative. Be polite, but be firm. Don't let them treat you like you're stupid and that they don't have any power. We know what's going on. And I've watched it, like I said, time after time, especially in New York. And the crap and garbage from New York is what emanates throughout the whole nation. Most of the tyranny originates in New York, and it metastasizes out from there. So anyway, Lori, do you have some more information for us before we have two callers here? I think we have Carol in Idaho and Dave in Nevada. Can we take Carol real quick, Mike? Carol, are you there?
Hello?
Come in, Carol.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Carol in Nevada. Thanks for joining us. How are you tonight?
Yeah, I happen to be in Idaho. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Hello?
Go for it.
Okay, great. You're kind of far away. That's why I'm asking. I can't quite hear you too well.
Okay, I'll try to bring
yes,
my volume up.
And Lori, my heart goes out to Tom, of course, and thank you for carrying on in his stead. I just want to say that I've been a supporter of Tom, a friend of his, for as long as I think he's been on the air on RBN, and I've learned an awful lot from Resurrect the Republic. The main reason that I'm calling is that for as many years, even decades, that I've been a patriot and a student of, the Constitution and whatever, I was never privy to what you folks are saying about the Vatican, the Pope, and the Vicar General and all that coming in. And I'm just wondering, am I the only one? I've never heard Tom and Bruce Ray Riggs, going back years. I've never heard them approach anything from this point of view. So I was just going to ask you, am I the only one who doesn't understand the roots of that connection? And if there are others of your listeners that are as much in the dark about it as I am, could you give maybe a thumbnail sketch as to that platform and what it entails and what jurisdiction and powers they have? Because it's kind of new to me.
Yeah, well, you are not alone.
Okay, if that's okay, Eric, if that's okay, I'll just hang up. But either tonight or sometime, if you would kind of go back to square one and just build that case to let us understand what business the church has in our courts, I'd appreciate that, okay?
Will do. Carol, thanks for that. That was a great call.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Carol. That's a wonderful question. Let me start by saying this. No, you are not alone. I just woke up to this recently within the past couple of years. So I'm not. And I went to a Jesuit high school. And it's called the McQuaid Jesuit High School. I was there for, 2 years? And, I didn't know anything of it. This seemed all very normal at the time. By the way, McQuaid Jesuit High School recently took their entire student body to a mosque for a worship ceremony without telling the parents, high school students. I thought that was a choice. But anyway, you're not alone. I just woke up to this recently. And you're not in the dark. You're in the light now because you're asking the questions and you seem, the problem is the public school system has been doing its job perfectly, making kids as obedient instead of creative. And that's about the best way to put it. I'll just keep it simple as that. They're teaching kids to be obedient and follow rules and take orders as if they were in the military, as if they were conscripts. And I love the military, but it's not supposed to be pushed on our kids. And it's not certainly not supposed to be coming out of the Vatican in the form of vicar generals. Note the use of the military term. That's not by accident. And neither are the black robes, which are an overt sign of Luciferianism. And many of them call themselves Luciferians among their own people and their own crowd. We recently uncovered a one that was abusing a young teenage boy. And it goes very deep into the most powerful parts of the community, including the chief of police, the local judge. We'll get into that case another time. But no, they have no business being in our courts. None. They should get the hell out. Excuse my language. But it's time for strong words. Did somebody want to chime in real quick?
Eric, I wanted to back up what you're saying about the religious connection. They say prayers to the court in one of the court motions that they have. A DA, also a district attorney, admitted to me that they were a church. When I was going through my bankruptcy and the foreclosure of my house, one of the gentlemen I was working with Someone in California had actually found the ecclesiastical deed to his property and had been sent the ecclesiastical deed. So there are a few people doing this, a few people finding out the information and finding out the connections. Just remember, we were all born into it, and someone may have gone into the priesthood very innocently, but they found out what the truth is and how the world works. Always remember, in the game of chess, you have a king and queen, and you have a bishop right beside them. Go into history and see what the bishops have done in history.
Oh, and in the case, and I hate to say it, but in the case of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, they had one of the archbishops, not on either side of them, right between them. And there they were at the Catholic Charities Ball dinner event with the black tie and all the monkey suits and all the people, you know, dribbling and drooling over each other and how powerful they were and who's more wealthy than who and who's more powerful than who and who has more friends in high places than whom and all this garbage. And, you know, I hope Donald Trump was just playing along to try to get the Catholic vote, because that was grotesque. Catholic Charities sounds all nice because it's got the word charities in it. They really do know how to wrap themselves in the flag, wrap themselves in Christ, wrap themselves in good deeds and religion. Occasionally they might do some, especially the people at the lower level. Like you said, there's some innocent lower level people who try to think they're into it for good reasons. Like a lot of other evil organizations, they need to have some good people in there to at least keep the illusion and compartmentalize so the good sections don't really find out what the bad ones are doing. They're just not told. It's part of secrecy and non-disclosure agreements that they all signed if they're in a sensitive position.
Exactly.
So anyway, I'm going to go ahead, Lori.
Before we take the next caller, because we've got David on the line from Nevada. Do you mind if I read something real quick? As David might be interested in this as well. This is from the 13 pages I was talking about. It's LR 1010-3, Intangible Property. That's Intangible Property. Listen to the manner of showing cause. It's very short. The claimant of the property may show cause why the property should not be delivered to the court by serving and filing a claim as provided in Supplemental Rule C6 within the time allowed to show cause and to serve and filing to answer to the complainant within 21 days thereafter. They're talking about a summons, summoning a living man and calling them property.
Yeah, that's how people really need to realize the legal system looks at us as property. And what we're constantly saying is a fictitious entity, which is someone who's been placed into a trust. So you're now a fiduciary instrument and a non-living being. And the lawyers are really trained to believe that. I know it sounds absurd to a person with common sense and morals, but you can hire a whole lot of people if you pay a whole lot of money to do a whole lot of really bad things, as we are witnessing in the whole nightmare dilemma that we're in right now. So the Vicar General Dictionary definition, Carol? And by the way, Dave, or if Dave's with us, Mike, did you say Dave dropped off? Bring up Dave, and then we'll have Fred in Iowa. And as we evolve through the phone calls, I'll try to squeeze in my full kind of explanation of the Vicar General, or we'll just do it another time. But I'll give you, so far I got you caught up to why, basically what they are, and I'll give you the dictionary definition after we talk to Dave in Nevada, or during. Dave, how's it going? Are you with us?
Yeah, I'm with you. Thanks for taking my call. real quick, this is kind of in line with the previous caller. She was asking questions about the Catholic connection with the courts. What people need to realize is that most of these people that they see on television, these cardinals, they're not. Most of them are Knights of Malta. And if you know anything about the Knights of Malta, you look on a Masonic chart, the Knights of Malta are very close to the top of a Masonic chart. And if you're a Mason, you cannot be a Catholic. It's strictly forbidden to be a Mason and a Catholic at the same time.
That's changed. They can now.
I'm sorry?
That has...
Yeah, they threw,
They threw
that rule out the window, and it looks like they've interweaved with each other. It looks like the Freemasons have basically infiltrated just about everything, and in the Catholic order, they call themselves the Jesuits. And
that's what I'm saying. The reason why they change that if you're a Freemason, you can't be a Catholic. It doesn't matter if they change the law or not. The Catholic Church was officially taken over during the Second Vatican Council, and so every single pope that's been in office for the last 60 years or so, they've been invalid. So
right,
everything
right.
that everyone...
I agree with that. And now here they are with diplomatic relations, fully sanctioned by our local courts, and our local courts are giving them everything, one piece of property after a child, after a state, after a Social Security settlement, and on and on and on. And so they really do have power locally, and it's in the form of the judicial vicar and the vicar general. And of course, they answer to the archbishop and the cardinal. But those guys are usually a little more insulated and harder to access for activism.
Right. So what I'm saying is that if you're going to try and access or try to get help from the vicar general, you're probably not going to get it because he's most likely a Freemason.
Well, believe it or
not,
with enough, I would have agreed with you until once in a while. They have interceded to actually facilitate something at least a little bit close to justice, and I hate to say I'm not sounding too optimistic, but I have if with enough pressure, they will bend and they will be pushed. But you're right. I mean, generally they abide by the Masonic code, but when the light of day starts getting shined on them, they usually like to make things go away. Like cases like Tom's, they should open the door, let him out. And then if he has, at least until a court appearance, I mean, the whole thing should be dropped, but he should not be sitting incarcerated right now. And the vicar general
should definitely push
the buttons, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm not saying to let up on the pressure. I'm just saying that what I'm trying to do is kind of shed light on the situation. I'm not saying that these people can't cave into it, but I'm just saying what people are up against. And I'm just trying to point this out because most people define or talk about in terms of being Catholic, it's no longer Catholic. We haven't had anything valid Catholic in about 60 years, and that's why people are
right.
So confused. That's all I'm bringing up.
And David, even
right.
The
no, that's a great point. It's a great point. And the Catholics aren't Catholic anymore. The United States isn't Christian anymore. What Israel's doing is not very Jewish in the sense of God-loving, and I mean they're more of a totalitarian communist power broker in the Middle East. I mean. So none of the entities are legitimate. I definitely agree with you on that, Dave.
And one of the things to remember, David, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay. One of the things to remember also is even Satanists, Luciferians, whatever you want to call them, any faith, any religion, they still acknowledge the Creator and the laws of the Creator. They may twist and turn it. But when you've got your snake, when you've got your foot on that snake's head, he can't bite you anymore. And they've been asked to go and abide by God's laws and to do as they say that they're doing by God's laws and to obey God's laws. That they must.
I like that.
They do not have a choice.
It's a great approach. It requires that they put their money where their mouth is. And you want to, guys, I want to be godly men. Okay, get something godly done. Here's your mission. And send them off to it, and occasionally they'll perform it, and occasionally, and the rest of the time they won't. But several times I've seen the pressure applied at the vicar's office does make a difference in a positive sense to get justice where there was none, or to get some, to get something that was being held up to be freed up. In the case of a gentleman's Social Security settlement, a phone call to the vicar, the judicial vicar, really helped. And the guy got right back to him and said, "Oh, couldn't find your paperwork, or we didn't know we had it, or some blah 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 excuse." And then basically, at least it got the ball rolling. So it's you take the victories as you can get them. And but Dave's right; the Catholic situation hasn't been, what it was intended to be in the early days, which is something representative of Christ, has long since been infiltrated, corrupted, taken over. The Second Vatican Council, for sure, that might even be a little late. You could probably, I think, some of the infiltration and the plans to do it, back up even a little bit before Well, when was the Second Vatican Council, Dave? Can you give the listeners a little history on that?
Yeah, it started in 1958 with John the 23rd, and then it closed in 1962 with Pope Paul the 6th, who was a who was a rabid communist, by the way. And every single pope since that point on has been basically a communist. But that's a little deeper than most people want to get into. But yeah, it started in 1958.
That's not too deep at all. Feel free. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, look at their behavior.
Well, yeah.
Look at their statements. Everything is communistic.
Right.
I mean, you know, without any media or any public schools or any place else. Now, you know, thank God for the internet. At least there's some information traveling around. And yes, some of it's bad, some of it's good. But you can get the history now, and at least people are learning things that they did not know before. Shows like this bring out some new light on this whole vicar thing. The vicar was fascinating to me because now, there's a guy locally who is actually the hands-on manager behind all these courts. He's the guy that manages all the Cestu trusts that everybody wants to access. And if you're straw man and get back and address this whole Admiralty Courts thing with the man on the land and don't cross the bar and the flag with the yellow fringe, which is an admiralty law, and now you have an admiral and a captain that you have to answer to as if you're a conscript in the military, and all your natural blessings and rights are now privileges given to you by somebody else, you know, some other human. That's not the way it goes.
Sure.
So,
I just wanted to say real quick, the infiltration really started in the late 1700s during the French Revolution.
Yeah.
And then it was a gradual decline from there. So it started a long time ago. But the Second Vatican Council was basically the final nail in the straw. And then when JFK got his brains blown out, that was the end for the any kind of real. That was the symbolic finish for the kind of the Catholics, shall we say.
You know, and in the JFK thing, I was just thinking about that today and in relation to, you know, a president who may have been trying to do the right thing there and paid the price.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of people out there who say, well, if Trump tries anything like that, you know, which is, you know, do some of the things Kennedy did, like shut down the CIA, bring home the troops out of some of these illegitimate wars, start printing, start having the Congress print hard asset-backed notes that are real money and not this foreign currency, that's this phony baloney, you know, monopoly money that comes out of the private banking consortium called the Federal Reserve. And a lot of people say, well, they'll just kill him. They'll just this and that and that. Well, all it takes is they get people thinking that this is just, wow, they'll kill anybody or everybody who comes along and tries to do that. Absolutely not. All it took in the Kennedy situation was two people with guts and courage and some kind of morals, or at least patriotism, Kennedy and his successor, LBJ. If you can get two people in a row to take that Kennedy, they'll never be able to get away with it again. It'll obviously be a pattern. Even the idiots of the idiots will wake up and realize, oh, my God, yeah, no. So it just takes two people in a row with guts, or three, or four. It takes everybody to make a stand. This is why it's important to have everybody in this battle, everybody making the phone calls for Tom and doing whatever they can. If it's just making your voice heard, great, that's enough. Because the vicars don't really like people calling. They don't like to hear the voices of many strangers, because many strangers means much public attention, public awareness, and spotlight on exactly what they're doing, which is managing the witch's court, a bunch of black-robed Luciferians, who are overtly stealing everything we have. And that's just the simplest way to put it. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I totally agree with... Yeah, just I think the phone calls are very effective. And I think you're right. They don't want to be bothered.
They don't want to be in the shadows. And now they're being bothered and they're out of the shadows. And it's a very uncomfortable situation for them because... Look, if they were doing godly work, we wouldn't be calling them and hassling them, but they're not. And a matter of fact, it's all very evil what's going on, from the black robes right down to the child CPS seizures to the unlawful prosecutions of victimless allegations like what Tom's going through, and it's going on all over the nation. Hundreds of thousands of people, it would blow your minds if you all knew how many people are languishing like Tom for victimless allegations and victimless, quote, offenses that only can be described as they're treating us all like we're conscripts in the military, whether we want to be or not.
They have it in writing on the page, we're property. They're not even treating us like conscripts. They're treating us like property. A soldier in the military has more authority.
That's a way better way to put it. You're exactly right, Lori. Agreed.
Yeah. And another thing is, always say what you need to say and educate, because just like Carol called in and said, hey, this is the first time I heard of this. Can you go into it deeper? Don't be afraid to talk on a different level, a different path. I hate the word level because no one's better than another, but it's just down the path. Don't be afraid to talk a little bit ahead of someone that may not know something, because it opens their eyes. They can go and research it. It gives everybody else a chance to get the word out. Please don't be afraid to say something if you need to get the information out. I know a lot of people are talking over some people's heads, but you'll catch up. Do your research. You'll catch up. I promise you. I was there one time just reading the healthcare bill. You'll catch up.
Nice point, Lori. Excellent. Dave, any other comments? We're coming up to the
top. Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anytime. Call back in anytime. That was excellent information that you shared with our listeners. Thanks, Dave.
And do you want to take, we might want to go to the break in a minute, and then we've got Fred on the line as well.
All right. We can, looks like we might have about 2 minutes till the break. So why don't we, why don't we give a couple more numbers out so people, Lori, get up your Vickers number there if you still got it on hand. The sheriff for Lane County, Oregon, this is the guy who's actually holding Tom on what is called a courtesy hold for the U.S. Marshals. And I guess out of courtesy, Sheriff Trapp is going to be more like the sheriff of Nottingham and hold somebody completely unlawfully without bail, even though the state and federal constitution both assure that you, unless it's a capital offense allegation like murder, then everybody has to get bail. Tom didn't swat a fly. He did nothing. He was sitting in a room that happened to have a gun nearby. Who's being harmed by that? And they're holding him with no bail? This is absolutely political persecution. Nothing else. It's crystal clear. And media persecution. That's why everybody in the media should be outraged at this. You know, just because Tom has a minor statutory felony in his past, you don't stay quiet and let him languish in prison. Why? Because he's got a minor little something in his past that he paid his dues for? I mean, a nonviolent, you know, statutory offense years ago, just like all these other cases we've seen with Shane Bennett and Stephen Dean and all the other patriotic people who happen to have a statutory in their past and guns nearby in the present, and the government sees it fit to steal their property.
And here we are on the next break.
All right. And then after we come back from the break, we're going to have Fred joining us. And this is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Mike, how long do we have till the break? Another minute or two? Lori, do you want to? Lori, let me give out the number for the sheriff in Oregon. It's 541-682-4150. So please, people, call on behalf of Tom Lacabara. We can get him back on the show. I'm sure you're sick of hearing from us. You want to hear from Tom. So if you want that to happen, you're going to have to make the phone call. You want to get rid of Eric and get Tom back? Call Sheriff Byron Trapp. How's that for a last name? He's got Tom trapped in a cage. 541-682-4150. Call, folks. I mean, all week, this week, next week, don't stop until they let him out. Make his life miserable. Be nice, but be firm. He's holding Tom unlawfully. Have some guts. Put your sack back on and let Tom out. Tell the marshals to go screw. They don't have any authority. That's why they're relying on stupid sheriffs to hold people unlawfully on a courtesy hold. It's insane. 541-682-4150. And if you got time, Lori, give the number for the vicar real quick.
That number, Bishop Peter Smith, 503-234-5334. Bishop Peter Smith, 503-234-5334. And with that,
the bishop himself, yes, call and have a chat with the bishop.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.